them out. Praise the Lord. Oh. Lord, we thank you. Just hold your hand. Hold your Bible up or your cell phone or whatever you're using. Just be using something. Lord, I thank you for your word. Amen. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Your word is what? Your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is instructions into righteousness. Your word is life, 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 Lord. We thank you for life. We thank you for abundant life, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Oh, hold them up again. Just make a statement. Lord, thank you for your word. It does not contain the word of God. It is the word of God. When you say it contains the word of God, you think, well, some of it's God and some of it's no. It's all God. It's all God. It's all truth. Listen, if it's not all truth, you know what? You can just pick and choose what you want to pick and choose. It's all truth. It's all life. It's all instruction for righteousness. It's the same, you know, as it was 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years. It's the same. It's got the same strength. It's got the same power. It tells you how government should run. It tells you everything you need to know about the world. Right? Praise the Lord. Go to Psalms 133. I'll tell you something that Dave Hogan and this Harry Jackson did. How many of y'all were here for any of those meetings? Well, one thing it did for me is I've always felt this way, but when you hear somebody else preach it besides yourself, it talks about the Word of God and how if you operate in those principles, then you'll have success. That's basically the message. And I've said for years, we've got these little pet verses that we throw out, but we really don't mean them. We just like to mimic what they say. I shouldn't say we don't mean it, but we don't really pull into what it says. And Harry Jackson had an interesting way of putting it.
By his stripes we are healed. I like the way he used that little.
He said, No, by his stripes we are the healed. So you got to pull into that and know it's true. It's true. It's always true. Amen? Okay, Psalm 133. God, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for the presence of God. I thank you for the power of God. I thank you, Lord, you can do this in 5 minutes or however you want to do it, God. But, Lord, we'll be changed. God, I need to be changed. We all need to be changed. Psalm 133, behold. Behold. And that sounds like a King James word, and it kind of is. But I looked it up. It says to perceive through sight or apprehension, especially a remarkable or impressive nature. To gaze upon, to observe, to be sure to see. Behold means I really am going to pull into it. Behold means I'm really going to see it. Behold means I'm going to gaze on it and meditate on it. Does that make sense? The Word of God, you need to meditate on the Word of God. You need to eat it. You need to drink it. You need to live it. But if you just take it as a little, okay, for God so loved the world, you can go in any bar or crack house in the nation and start that verse out, and three quarters of the people in there can finish it. Is that true? But it's not working for them. Right? It's not working. It's not living, working word. It's dead. They've made the word of God dead. When the word of God is alive and powerful and mighty and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm not telling y'all nothing, but it's true. You got to get it in here. You got to get it in your guts. You got to get it in your head. You got to live it. You got to breathe it. If you want it to, and I shouldn't say make it work for you. God's not about working for you. It's not, his job's not to work for you. Your job is to work for him. That was fundamental, Mike. I'm glad you said that. He says, you don't pray, Holy Spirit, go into Greenville. Save Greenville. Holy Spirit, go into my workplace and save my workplace. Holy Spirit, go here. Go empty this hospital. No. He's not, and like he said, he is not going to do that. He says, no, you go, and I'll go with you. You go, and I'll empower you. I'll empower the words of God to make it happen. Amen? Amy, your friend's still going after God and divine healing? Praise God. See, they haven't fainted. Okay. Blessed. Behold. How good. Behold. Meditate on this. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold. Look at it. Look how blessed it is for brethren to dwell in unity. A church. Man, we got to dwell in unity. But it's not about us. It's about a whole region. It's about churches up and down this highway, praise God. It's unity. And we're trying to make that happen. And I see it spreading. I see other places trying to do that. Praise God, we have got connections with like-minded believers. Praise God. But then there's others that aren't like-minded. But they're still calling on the name of Jesus. They may not speak in tongues. They may not believe in divine healing. But they're still your brother and sister in the Lord. Hello? Aren't they? And maybe we'll cross-pollinate. Amen? Maybe they got a super-duper-duper-duper gift for souls. Maybe they've got a hunger for souls that you don't have. Maybe, you know, when we get in that body life, like when these three churches come together Labor Day, or four, or five, or how, when we come together, it's going to be cool. We're going to put everything aside that confounds, right? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What's unity? I think in the Hebrew it says eshad. Eshah. Which means triune unity, which means the Godhead, which means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are together in unity. They're all together in one purpose. They have different functions, but they're all together in one purpose. Does that make sense? Want me to explain the Trinity to you? Sorry, man, I can't. It works. It works is all I can tell you. God the Father, praise God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're all working together. Have you ever heard in the Bible where they were fighting? He's, oh, Dad, I don't want to do that. Remember? In the garden? Father, right? If you can take this, if there's any other way to get this deed accomplished, please, I really don't want to do that cross. But, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You know, sometimes you're weak. Sometimes you know what you're supposed to do, but you're weak. Is that true? But when you know you've heard from God, when you know you've heard from God, you'll go on and do it, right? Even if it's painful. Even if it's embarrassing, that true? Verse 2, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So it's a beautiful thing when we come together in unity, right? But you got to look at it. It's more than beautiful. It's powerful. And until the church, I'm not saying all the churches will ever come into unity. I'm not saying that. But until the church starts coming into unity, we're not going to see this great outpouring that we've been calling out for. Or we would already saw it. Like-minded. I don't know if y'all are getting what I'm saying, because you kind of got a... Maybe I'm not saying it right. I want to read you, if you've already, how many of y'all read the prayer directive for August? Anybody? A couple of you? Well, I'm going to read this to you. What's a prayer directive? Does anybody know? People, I don't know if you remember, several of y'all signed up to pray for 1 hour between 3 and 6, one day a month, for the Highway 150 corridor, for the churches up and down this highway, for the people in those churches, the people in this region. And I've got the first day of the month, so I will hear what the Lord shows me, and I'll put it in there so you can know. You pray what the Holy Spirit shows you to do, but there's directives that He shows us to pray. And so I had a vision the other morning at 3 in the morning. It's easy to say you had a vision, just went back to sleep, but it wasn't that. It was, I was wide awake, and it was just a snapshot. I don't know if you've ever had that. But as you started writing it down, it started opening up. And have y'all ever had that happen to you? Anyway, that's what happened. It was like a picture, and then it was kind of like a video. But it, you know, I was wide awake, wasn't in a trance. But just let me read you what it says. I was looking at a huge lake that is formed by a dam, and I know this to be Mount Vernon, Kentucky, which is where the Highway 150 corridor starts. The spillway, the riverbed, was dry, but the lake above was alive and teeming with life. I didn't see a face, but I saw a pair of hands on a wheel that opens the floodgates. Have y'all ever seen those? You ever been around a dam? It's got a big steel wheel and a rod going down, and what it does is it opens up the floodgates, the spillway. There was a pair of hands on the floodgates. The wheel was large, maybe 10 or 12 feet across, which I've never seen one. Usually they're about this big, but this thing was huge. But it was closed and it was very rusty. And the pair of hands were struggling to open the valve, but nothing was happening. Nothing. He was straining, but nothing was happening. And then I saw a second pair of hands join with the first. There was no movement, but I noticed the rusty wheel seemed to be coated with a thin layer of oil. As more hands are added to the wheel, more rust disappears, and the wheel, though not cooperating, begins to move. As more hands are quickly being added, a small stream of water comes forth. In a short time, the small stream has now become a raging river. The water is not muddy, but crystal clear. The water level in the lake doesn't drop at all, but is increasing. The water goes into a concrete spillway and then is funneled onto a highway. The highway has become a riverbed. I see the signpost in black and white. It says the source of the great Highway 150 corridor. Everywhere it flows, death is changed to life. Unholiness becomes holy, addiction becomes freedom, poverty becomes abundance, perversion becomes purity, Confusion becomes clarity. Depression becomes joy. Religion becomes relationship. Everything changes. And as water seeks the lowest level, as the river flows, crops are blessed, towns and cities are blessed. When it crosses the other streams and rivers, they begin to purify. It flows quickly through Kentucky to Indiana and on to Illinois till it flows into the great Mississippi. And I heard the song playing, "Let the River Flow." That's what I heard. And I don't know if y'all know that song or not. Y'all know it? Let the river flow. Sing it if you know it. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come, move in power. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Yes, Jesus. Let the poor man say, "I am rich in him." Let the lost man say, "I am found in him." Let the river flow. Let the blind man say, "I can see again." Let the dead man say, "I am born again." Let the river flow. Let it flow. Let the river flow. Sing it. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come. Move in power. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the poor man say, "I am rich in him." Let the lost man say, "I am found in him." Let the river flow. Let the blind man say, "I can see again." Let the dead man say, "I am born again." Let the river flow. Let it flow. Come on, everybody. Let the river flow. Come on. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come. Move in power. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Yes, Lord. The river of God will never be released to its full potential till people realize that the anointing oil that frees the floodgates of revival is released by unity in the body. Holy Spirit, pour out this revelation on a carnal and a dying church. The river is bubbling up in southern Indiana and Kentuckiana. The Highway 150 corridor is wet, but the fullness, the flash flood, is coming. The river will never run dry as long as holy hands and hearts and unity and intercession rule and reign. Pray for strength and the vision to be released stronger, longer, and wider. Don't deny the power. This is the final hour. I hope y'all are praying for that. I hope y'all are praying for this Highway 150 corridor. And some of y'all don't even have a clue what it is because you haven't pressed into it. Even it's been going on for years. You need to press into what God has showed us to do. Hello? You got to press into what God has showed us to do, what our part is in the kingdom. We got a lot of different things God has showed us, but that's one of them. So please pray for unity. Pray that God will start captivating other churches, the Methodist church, the Baptist church, the Christian church. Lord God, there should be a floodgate this Tuesday night, Faith Victory Center. Hope you can make it there. Hope you'll come with a cry in your heart for revival, you know, because there's people there that want it. There's people in several churches that we're hooked up with, 20th and Market. Love to go down there and pray at Pastor Green's church. Love it. Love it. Who would ever thought we'd be hooked up with a church at 20th and Market? Y'all don't know Louisville. You don't understand what I'm saying. 20th and Market. God is moving down there. God is moving in that church, praise God. I love those people. They are all about God, man. Y'all had them out to the Mother's Day banquet. How many of y'all came out to that? They love y'all, man. They just talk about when we was over there, like, oh, my, y'all treated us so good. You loved on us. They feel the love of Jesus. They don't feel, what do you call it? What is racism? They don't feel that. They're black. They're all black people. Praise God. And we need some color here. We do. We're kind of white. And I'm all for white. I'm white. I'm okay with white. But we need some color. Praise God. So God's going to open those doors. We embrace others that maybe aren't exactly the same. There's power in that. I'm not saying compromise, folks. I'm not saying that at all. But embrace. Embrace our differences. And I hope y'all know what I'm saying. I am not talking. I don't have to explain that. Go to Isaiah 1. Yeah, just shit. This talks about unity a little bit. There's so much here. I want to start where I don't have to read as much. The children of Israel had turned their back on God, and they were even doing new moon celebrations and Sabbath and assemblies with the wicked. Verse 14, I'm not going to read all that coming up. You need to read the whole thing so you'll know what was going on in Israel. But it says, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul, what? Hates. That's the Lord God, Father God. They are a trouble to me, and I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. And this is a verse we can throw out because we always do, which is a good verse, but it says, come now and let us reason. What's reason mean? It means to decide, to judge, to reprove, to correct, to convict. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, listen, if you are willing and obedient, did it say if there? If you are willing and obedient, you will what? Say it for me. You shall what? Come on, say it loud. Say, you shall eat the good of the land. You shall eat the good of the land. What? If you are willing and obedient. If, verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Go to Ephesians 4, and I will stop there. This whole chapter is about walking in unity. Who wrote this? Paul? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called with all what? Lowliness and gentleness with what? Long-suffering, patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Did Paul seem like he was trying to make peace with people who worshiped idols? Was Paul trying to make peace with Baal worshipers? Was Paul trying to make peace with whatever doctrine was floating around? What was he trying to make peace with? The house of the Lord. But to each one of us, verse 7, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. He ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So there's a wind of the Holy Spirit, and there's a wind. The doctrine has wind too. It's like the Spirit of God. It goes where it wills. Nobody knows where it's going from, where it came from. Nobody knows where it's going to, but there's a wind. Ruah, the breath of God. But there's a wind of doctrine too. There's good doctrine. Say there's good doctrine. There is good doctrine. People say doctrine's bad. Doctrine is necessary and good. And people don't always want to hear that. But there is a wind of doctrine that's floating around this planet right now, this country especially, saying if you don't agree with everyone, if you don't come into agreement with every perverse thing that comes along, if you don't come into agreement with that, you are unkind, you are unloving, you have no tolerance. Right? You're a hater. Is that true? So we're all for unity, but you cannot come into unity with somebody who's diametrically opposed to what the Word of God says. You can't come into unity with sexual perversion. Hello? You can't come into unity with sexual perversion. What is my definition of sexual perversion? Sex outside the marriage bed is sexual perversion. That makes it pretty clear, don't it? Oh, and God's definition of marriage, too, would have to be in there, too. Because now we've got to define what marriage is. How incredibly stupid is that? But Jesus said this. You guys, and I know y'all know this, and y'all are ready to, you're ready to go to the wall, you're ready to go to the end, you're ready to stand up for Jesus, even if they pull a rusty knife out and they're threatening to cut your head off. Right? Are you ready? Don't look at me like that. It's happening all over the world. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because Jesus said, if they hated me, guess what, Jason? They'll hate you. Why would they hate you, Jason, when you go, oh, I love everybody. Whatever you do is just so cool with me. Is that what causes people to hate you? What causes people to hate you? When you don't agree with them. When you take a stand for righteousness, people hate you. Not everybody. Praise God, not everybody. But when you take a stand for what's right and what's wrong, you'll be labeled like, who was it? Was it Joseph? Don't be wasting mom and dad's cattle. Don't be doing this. What'd they do? His brothers, what'd they do? They threw him in a hole, and they sold him as a slave. Now, if your own brothers would do this to you, what do you think somebody that really hates you is going to do? I'm not trying to put no fear on you, not at all. Praise God, we've still got the ability. We can still speak what we want to speak. But the door's closing. Without a revolution, without a revival, and I say revolution in the sense of a revolution in the church, a revolution in your the way you carry on as a Christian, listen, I'm telling you what, there are people out there that are dying for the word of truth. There are people out there that are hungry and thirsty for the word of truth. There is. You're not going to find them behind the church doors usually. You're going to find them wherever you go. You're going to find them at the fish place. As soon as we talked to that pastor, walked out in the parking lot, and this guy got a bandana and long hair and gray beard. And, you know, I just looked at him and went, he's a biker. I mean, he just had it. That's judgmental, right? I know. He's just written all over him. I said, hey, brother, we was getting on our bike. He said, nice bike. Got to talking to him. I said, what do you ride? Just making small talk. And I said, you need prayer for anything, man? He goes, oh, yeah, man, I need prayer. I really need. And he was totally, I really need prayer. And we prayed right out there in the middle of it. And you know what? He was not ashamed. He closed his eyes and raised his hand up. I don't think the guy was even a believer, but he was not ashamed of the gospel. Here? He wasn't ashamed. We're ashamed sometimes, but the world is dying for some life. The world is dying for healing. The world is dying for deliverance from demons. What demons? The ones you get from looking at pornography, boys and girls. You get demons. Listen to me. Anything that floods your mind gate with that, and you can't even go anywhere without thinking about these pornographic images going through your head, you are being controlled by demons. Listen, and you make these girls some kind of lusty rah, 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 and you don't know how many tormented they are, and you don't know how you're contributing to their bondage every time you look at it. Listen, it ain't just boys either. You've got to cut yourself, listen, you got to cut yourself off. Listen, this is truth. Not just young people. They say when they have a conference, a men's conference, that in the motel, the porno rate goes up the porno rate goes up 50%. I'm not talking about young kids. I'm talking about anybody can be pulled in by this devil. You got to cut it off. Listen. It's not an option to entertain this dude. Listen. Come on, I've been there. I think all men have probably been there. I hope this isn't too explicit. No, heck no. What's the youngest person we got in here? You've probably already been exposed to it. So let's get real. Let's get real. What did Jesus say? He said, if your eye offends you, gouge it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. He said, it's better for you to go into life with one eye or one hand than it is to go to hell with both hands and both eyes working. Listen, he said hell. He said, when your eye offends you, you must cut it off. I don't know why I'm going here, but I feel there's a weakness in you because of you've allowed, and believe me, I've been there before, okay? So I'm not talking women, men, women, same thing. Romance novels, all that stuff, same stuff. You're fantasizing about stuff that you don't need to be fantasizing about. But it's like, here's the deal. I know where you're coming from, boys. I know because I went through it. And maybe this is nobody here. I hope not. Would you say, oh, man, you guilt. Guilt comes on you because you're a follower of Jesus, and this guilt waves over you because you have looked at something that you know was evil, right? And you go, I'm not going to do this again. But you've never really, you haven't set your boundaries. And this little, you'll say, well, I'm going to look at this. Because this isn't too bad. And as soon as you, bam, as soon as you make a choice to look at this, this ain't too bad. This is on the light side of things. As soon as you do that, you've lost it. Because it goes click, 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 click. Before you know it, you're looking at the most ungodly stuff, corrupt, demonic stuff. I have no idea where it's going. There's probably literally nothing you can't pull up on the internet. Don't be deceived. God has made a way for you to get out. And that song you were singing is the answer. I have decided to follow Jesus. You got to make a decision. It's not like, okay, praise God, I prayed a prayer, I'm going to follow Jesus. No, it's like you must decide, right? I'm not picking on you, but you must count the cost. There's a cost to following Jesus. There's a cost to following the enemy. One of them pays now, and one of them pays later. Not saying that there's many benefits to following Jesus, my Lord. I've got peace like a river. I'd never go back. I would never, ever go back. Never. But I can be deceived, just like you can be deceived. Man, that's why you got all these, you got pastors running around on their wives with somebody in the church and getting a divorce. I mean, God told me I should be with you. Come on. Would he? Would he? It happened. It's happening all over this. Listen, this Jezebel spirit has blanketed this land and said, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. Listen, until you get off your lazy butt and you get off your slothful attitude about sin, sin kills. Sin is horrible. Sin is demonic. Listen, until you get off your butt and go, Jezebel, no more. No more. And they were so kind. Was it Jehu? Jehu rides. Woo! Yay, Jehu. But they looked up in the window and they saw what? Jezebel with her painted hair and her negligee, and she was showing it. Listen, she was showing it. And he looked up in that window, and there was eunuchs up there. You know what a eunuch is? What's a eunuch? Come on, this is Bible. What is it? Castrated. They can't. There's no temptation because there's no. You can read between the lines. So he looked up there at these eunuchs, and to me, he's looking for spiritual eunuchs. They've decided, I'm not going to be like the rest of the world. I'm not going to give myself into sin. It's going to be one woman. It's going to be one man. It's going to be forever in marriage bounds. Praise God. But he looked up and he said to them, what are you going to do? They said, cast her out the window. I think she was up several stories. And there was cobblestone. You know cobblestone. You ever seen any? Pretty hard. Threw her out the window, and it said blood splattered all over everything. Ooh, that's kind of nasty. That's how God feels about sin. He wants to see it splattered. And then it said, and this was all prophesied too, said the dogs came and they ate up all her flesh, licked up the blood, and they told him to take the chariot over there and take it down to the quarter car wash and clean it out. I think the soles of her hands and feet were the only thing left. So you got to make a decision. Am I going to embrace this? Embraced. Forgive me, Lord. Am I going to embrace this demonic spirit? Lord God, stand up, y'all. Just stand up. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at what the enemy's trying to do to your destiny. Listen, he's got a plan for you, and it's a good one. And if you've fallen into that, you don't have to live with it the rest of your life. Temptations will come, yes, but you are a mighty man of God. You are a mighty woman of God. You can resist the devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He must flee. So God, put your hand on your head right now. God, I just minister. Everybody, put your hand on your head right now. I minister to minds right now, Lord. God, in Jesus' name, God, you promised that you would renew our minds if we would allow you to. God, renew my mind. Lord, cleanse me of unclean thoughts. Cleanse me of that demonic, my soul be cleansed. Cleanse me of that demonic desire to look at stuff that I know is wrong, God. And Lord, when friends come, say, look at this on my phone. Say, shut up, devil. I will not bow in Jesus' name. I will not bow in Jesus' name. God wants you to be free tonight, sister and brother. God wants you to be free from this forever in Jesus' name. God wants you to be free of addictions in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly. God, I thank you. Your word says that those who believe on you, like the scripture has said, if you do it, say, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Lord, like the scripture has said. Therefore, out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Lord, don't your town, don't your workplace, don't your school need living water? Don't it need living water? And you know, I hate to say this, young people, but there's only very few that are going to take a stand like that. You are in the crucible. You know what that is? It means you're in a big vat where they melt down metal and they boil it and they get gold to a boiling point, and then they take this thing across there and they skim off. It's called dross. They skim off the impurities, and then they do it seven times. And when it's perfectly clear, and they say, I've never done this, but they say when a guy can look or a woman can look in there and see their reflection, then it's pure. So do you need to purify your vessel today? The blood of Jesus will purify it. The blood of Jesus will keep you strong. The blood of Jesus will keep you from temptation. And you've read in Isaiah, if you do this, you will be blessed. Your nation will be blessed. So God, in Jesus' name, just hold your hands up. Lord, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you, Jesus. If you're calling me right now, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender, Jesus. Hey, look, if he's speaking to you, come up here. If you've been pulled in by that demon of pornography, what will people think of me? Hey, you know what? Most people that would think something, you've been there too. So come up here if you want prayer for deliverance from this. I'll pray with you. I've been there. I've been into pornography and got free of it. So if you would like prayer from somebody that knows, come on up here. Right now. Right now. Right now. Come on. Come on. If you've been into that stuff, come on. Let's get it off. Let's clean up and get ready for the King. Come on. God wants to heal us. God wants to heal men. You may have trouble with it now. You may be a grown man. Come on. If you're dealing with that, come on. Come on, man. Don't leave here bound up. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. Come on. Get accountable. Jesus. 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 I know you love Jesus. I know a lot of y'all love Jesus. Most of you. I don't want you to feel like a piece of dirt when you get home and you give into that thing. Come on. God wants to heal you today. If you don't know him, if you've never known him, and I mean know him, come on up here and surrender. If everything's cool. Praise the Lord. Bless these folks, God. Bless them going out. Bless them coming in. Bless this word about purity burning their minds, burning their souls. God, that they will not be able to shake it off. God, let it be stronger. The word of God is stronger than any power of the enemy. If you're physically ill, come up and get prayer for healing in Jesus' name. God is a healer. Any need you have, come on up right now.